Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. This is Lanice Williams here with another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest that are in and serving Cobb County. So today I'd like to welcome two special guests that are serving the Smyrna Vinings community. We have Elaine Kasatek. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Kasatek. I practiced a little bit before we started, but I guess I'm still not. Am I there or no?
Kasatek is right. You got it on the second try.
Okay. On the second try. Elaine is the owner of Bookstop in Smyrna. And we also have Mr. Bryce Fogle, who is the owner of Revive Consignment in Smyrna.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So it's great to have both of you here. I'm excited to learn more about both of your businesses. I'm kind of intrigued a bit lately by the resale and consignment business. So this will be a great learning experience for the listeners as well as for me.
Yeah. So excited to be here.
Great. Elaine, tell us a little bit about your business.
We are a used bookstore. We have 25,000 books. And the basic premise is we sell used books at 50% off the purchase price. We take in books at 25% of the purchase price, which leaves us 25% of the purchase price to pay our bills.
Great.
And the price we go by is actually the publisher price on the book. We make it easy.
Really easy. So you flip over the book, there's the price, half of that price pretty much.
Exactly. Right. It makes it easy for our customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've been there and it's made it much easier for me and my kids.
It's a good experience for the kids to practice their math during the summer. Mm-hmm. It's also for the rest of us to go, let's see, that's okay. That's 10 divided by right. 2, and I have store credit. Oh, it's $2.50 instead of $10.
Exactly.
So it works out well.
And so how did you get involved in this business? I know you were in corporate America for a while.
I was. I'm actually a retired director of human resources.
Big change.
Yeah, don't tell the customer, though. I'm a nice person. I'd always wanted to own a used bookstore. Mm-hmm. And when in Connecticut, I'd actually looked at purchasing one but decided not to. Mm-hmm. I ended up here via Costa Rica and had the opportunity to purchase and grabbed it. Mm-hmm. And have been pleased.
So was this business, it was owned by someone else previously?
It was. It was actually founded in 2008 by Ginny Dorwood. Mm-hmm. If you're listening in California, Jenny, we love you and miss you.
Hey, Jenny.
And she developed a store based on specifically the customer service satisfaction. So everything is designed for the customer in mind, just like Bryce's shop is. Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's fantastic. And it's designed so that when you come in, it's a very boutique feel. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you feel like you're the only person in the store because we have little cubbies and little sections. Mm-hmm. So we've kept true to that. Another girl owned it for a little while, but I purchased it, and we're going back to the way Ginny did things. Increasing our stock and increasing what the customers really want, which is a good, high-quality book.
And when did you purchase?
December 31st, 2013. What a Christmas present.
Merry Christmas, right? And Happy New Year.
Yes.
So what is your selection process for your books? What is that process like?
The biggest thing I look for is, can it sell? Is it something that the customers we have want, mm-hmm. or would it bring a customer in? Mm-hmm. We do take a high-quality book on the outside. They've got to be in good shape. We don't just let any book in. Mm-hmm. We look for everything from mysteries to science fiction to business books, and the business books I'm the toughest on.
So I'm assuming a lot of your customers are repeat customers?
Absolutely. We have repeat customers. We have out-of-town visitors who come and who come see us 3 to 4 times a year when they visit family. Mm-hmm. We actually this year started shipping to some of our customers who have moved away. And they can't find used bookstores anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we do have some books we do ship out.
Mm-hmm. So how do you find your market, especially when you deal with like eBay and Amazon and different websites like that? How do you stay innovative in a market like this?
The biggest thing is I listen to my customers. They're mm-hmm. fantastic. They will say, I am looking for this book. I like this. I want this. And we have Basel software, mm-hmm. and it's by Attico. Those guys are out in Suwanee, Georgia. A little plug for them. They're fantastic. And the request system shows us what our customers want. So we can say, okay, Bryce wants a mystery. He wants specifically the latest James Patterson, number 13. When it comes in, we send him an email. Mm. He sends one back. I'll be here to pick it up on such and such a date. Mm.
So you pretty much have, I guess that system is like a profile system for your customers.
It's a software system, and the computer works based on what we put into it. So if our customer says, I'd like these books, okay, when they come in, we'll call you. Mm-hmm. If they don't come in, we're not going to call you.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier about customers coming in and having that store credit. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
This is where we take Jeff down at Amazon out of the business.
Well, tell me how you take Jeff out of business.
We take him out because you have to pay shipping on those books. Mm-hmm. Even with Amazon Prime, the shipping is built in. Mm-hmm. With the Bookstop, you don't pay for shipping because you walk in our door. And with store credit, instead of paying $4 for a book, you pay $2.65, and that includes tax. Mm-hmm. Would you rather pay $2.65 for a $10 book, or would you rather pay $4? Hmm. And the other thing is our quality is far among what I've seen on Amazon. Mm-hmm. We've actually ordered from there to see what we get. Mm-hmm. And we do help our customers, and we have placed orders for them on Amazon. Customer service.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's like what's the progressive lady? What's her name?
Flo,
yeah. You know, check all the other prices, see what works best.
Absolutely.
So you're like the Flo of the book market.
I hadn't thought about that. I wonder if we can go TV on this.
Hey, let's try it. I can be your manager.
Beautiful. Excellent.
So also, now if I bring my book in and it's not something that you want, I know you're super selective. I've spoken with you in the store before. I know you're super selective about what you take. So what's the process like? They come in, you look through it, you tell them immediately, I want it, I don't want it. How does that work?
We have a huge donation policy. So most of our customers will bring in a box, put it on the front counter and say, here you go. Whatever store credit I get, whatever I don't, donate out. Mm-hmm. We have one gal, her name is Kim, and she is not on our payroll. She is just on a mission from God to get books donated out. Mm-hmm. And she takes these books to hospital waiting rooms, shelters, domestic and violent. She also works with the school. She's also been known to drive down the road with her husband and say, pull over here, go in the box, get boxes out, and say to somebody, you need these books. Mm-hmm. We also donate with Empower Now, which is with the homeless, all our mysteries. Paperback mysteries and paperback religious and spiritual books go out that way. Mm-hmm. We also have Gene Chunky, who is my contract employee. Mm-hmm. We're partners, even though not on paper. And she volunteers at a local school. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have anything at all. So the books we can't use, she takes home, cleans up, tapes up, and brings into the school.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
So we do a ton of donations. And it's just, you know, we're part of the business community. We're part of the community. Bryce does a bunch also. We do a bunch as well. It's just mm-hmm. important.
Mm-hmm. And what is your, I guess, your main source of advertising? Do you advertise or is it just word of mouth at this point?
At this point, it's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And our customers will brag to their friends, I only paid $2.65 for that. Or, you paid full price for that? Really? And I'm sure Bryce could comment on that as well. He's probably word of mouth as well, because I've heard of his shop and people go, well, you shouldn't pay for that. You should go there. I go, okay. Thank you. But it's word of mouth. It's in the community. We're a PTA Pals partner with Nickajack mm-hmm. Elementary, Teasley Elementary. We also work with the private schools in our area. Mm-hmm. And it's just people know about us.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what do you feel, I guess, corporate America, what did it teach you that you were able to bring into entrepreneurship? Or did it teach you anything?
I did mention I was human resources.
Right.
I hired and fired.
Right.
Because I was at the senior management level, it got me to appreciate the finances. Mm-hmm. And no matter where I worked, I was always on the management team, so I understood the finances. I worked for Seymour Milling. I was in on a $2 million loan for a flour mill. Mm-hmm. When you see that, it's totally different when you go ask the bank for a small business loan like I did. But I bring all of those processes and procedures to the Bookstop. Mm-hmm. And that helps me. I think it makes it a better experience for the customers because I can react immediately But I also look at the bottom line to keep the store there long term. Mm-hmm. So people don't have to worry about it. Oh, is it going to be here next year? Are you going out of business? Because so many used bookstores are. Mm-hmm. We have a 10 to 15 year game plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even have, we are now the sole distributor of The Bourse.
Oh, wow.
Tell us about that.
Well, I happened to bring a few. And then it dawned on me, this is radio.
We can describe it. We can do a great job of describing it.
The Bourse is a purse that's made out of hardback book.
Oh, wow.
The insides have been taken out.
I like that.
And it's a thought process of what to do with the books that we had, that the insides of the hardbacks can't be used. Mm-hmm. So with a little glue, the book purse fairies have made them into purses. Fairies. And we call them The Bourse. And so you'll see them in the Smyrna Vinings area. And we actually are shipping out an order this afternoon. Actually, we shipped it out already to Chicago to a client there.
Wow.
And it's just gone like gangbusters.
So is this something that you have created? Or who are these Bourse fairies?
Well, the Bourse fairies are very private. They're two local women. I did start it. And Jean and I have been working on it. But it's taken off to the point that we have the Bourse fairies, and we take the orders in shop, and they make them.
Nice.
So it's supporting our local economy, and I guess I could announce we're going to have an Etsy shop.
Oh, wow.
Because the business is just so huge that we can't keep up with it. So it's working very well.
Awesome.
I know.
I just wanted to know if you were one of these fairies, because I'm wondering, how would you ever find the time to make these Bourses, but it's nice to know that you've gotten that outside assistance.
We had to. I had started it as a thank you to Jean for everything she's done and everything she continues to do. And I worked on it for about 6.5-7 weeks. I have the burnt fingers to prove it. And it takes about 2 days to make one. The actual production time is 2 hours. And it just grew. Someone saw it, and just basically the customer said, I want these two. And I said, well, they're not for sale. And the person said, I want to order two. And this was May 1st or 2nd. Since then, we've sold 11 in May.
Wow.
In June, we already have orders for 6 more.
That's great.
Yes, so the Bourse fairies are expanding. And
you might need more Bourse fairies.
That's right.
We're going to. We have applications out for that.
Hint, hint, right?
Yes.
So if people want to know more about Bookstop, how can they find out more?
They can find out on our website, www.bookstopsmyrna.com, and check out our Facebook page, The Bookstop Smyrna. That's where you'll see pictures of our Bourses, what we do. When books come in, I take a picture and put it up there. Sometimes it's easier to take a picture when you get 200 books in than it is to say, and we have the following titles.
Right.
Events we have, we don't have a lot, but we do have some, and those are on the Facebook page as well.
And you're in an excellent location.
We're in a fabulous location. We're located at the intersection of Paces Ferry and Atlanta Road. We're in with Paces Bottle Shop, Bella's Pizzeria, The Cigar Villa, China Taste, El Sol, Kim's Alterations, Stan's Cleaners, I have to remember everybody. Sushi Tong, Taekwondo. I'm forgetting somebody.
Is there a Mexican spot? Did you say the Mexican
El
spot?
El Sol. The jewelry doctor, Kevin, does a great job. I think that's everybody. We're a good plaza.
Well, I just come in there for the Chinese and for books.
That's China Taste. That's Kim and her family next door.
Yes, I love it. Her kids, or his kids, went to school with my kids. So it's fun for us to go in there, order our food, and my kids chat with their kids. It's fun.
All of our businesses in that plaza at 3599 Atlanta Road are family-owned. No corporate sponsorship. We're all local. We all have families. We're all family-owned businesses. So it's a very unique plaza to be in.
I love it. Well, are you going to hang around while we find out about Revive?
Oh, absolutely. I have heard a ton about it from my customers. We're going, you've got to go. And I'm like, well, they're open when I'm open. They're like, we'll watch the store. You go. So I can't wait to hear what Bryce has to say.
Great. Well, Bryce, give us the lowdown on Revive.
All right.
And Jubilee Church. I know you're involved with Jubilee as well.
That's right. Yeah, so Revive Consignment is owned by Jubilee Church, and it started in 2007. in Woodstock, and that was our first location. And we are just now actually celebrating 8 years in business.
Woo-hoo!
And we're going to be celebrating this Saturday. So I'm very excited about that.
At what time on Saturday?
So we're going to, it's going to be an all-day event from 10 to 6 in the Woodstock location and 10 to 7 in the Smyrna location. And we're going to have free food. We get a cake, popcorn, and in the Smyrna location, we're going to have a children's movie. In the Woodstock location, they'll have live music and children's activities. So it's really going to be a fun event for the whole family. We do these parties kind of often, and we like to show appreciation to our customers and our consigners and really just go above and beyond, like Elaine was saying, with our customer service. And doing these parties, I think it really is a big part of that. But also as well as to celebrate what God's done with us to allow us to be in business for the past 8 years. So high five.
They're high-fiving awesome. In the studio.
Yes.
Go, Bryce.
So how did this come about? I guess this brainchild of Jubilee Church, how did Revive come about?
So Carl Harrington leads Jubilee Church, and we had a relationship with somebody who knew the consignment business really well. And they more or less told us, if you follow exactly what we tell you to do, I promise you, you'll be successful. So we were given a business plan on a silver platter, which is definitely God's doing. And so the team with Jubilee, Carl and a few others, including his wife, Virginia, decided they wanted to open a consignment store. And so they were looking for a space in the Woodstock area. They found the place on the corner of 92 and 575 and moved in. And it's really an amazing thing. They started the business. They had $40,000 to start the business. And this is a 8,500 square foot space. So
that's
it's a
huge.
Really large space. They opened the doors with, I think they had $3,000 in the bank. Mm-hmm. And at the end of month one, I think they had over $20,000 in the bank.
Awesome.
So
and
just kind of went on from there. That's right. So it's one of those things where it was like probably a terrible business plan, but God showed up and provided. And ever since then, we've just been moving forward. And then about a little over a year ago, so last February, we opened our second location. And we've just been thrilled to be in Cobb County in the Smyrna area.
And where is that second location specifically?
Elaine is helping me here the radio.
She's the co-host
part.
Today.
That's right.
I want to go. I want to know where
gotcha.
It is.
Yeah. It's at 2514 Cobb Parkway, and that's in the Best Buy Shopping Center, but maybe more well-known to Smyrnians. I don't know how you say that, but the Scalini's Shopping Center. So Scalini's has been there for, you know, a long time and definitely one of our neighbors there. So, yeah, come by and check us out.
So for those that are listening that don't really know much about the consignment business, can you explain that process, how that works?
Right. So we have about 7,000 square feet of furniture, clothing, and home decor. We also do accessories and shoes. We actually don't do books, so we can very much compliment each other, Elaine.
Wonderful.
I see some exchange going on here.
That's right. So, but everything in our store is owned by people in the community, and it's theirs and in our store, and we sell it for them. And so it's their property until it sells. But they basically bring it in. We'll set them up an account with our inventory system, and as their stuff sells, the money gets added to their account. And then once their account reaches $20 or more, they can actually pick up a check. But at any time, you can use the money as store credit in the store. And so we are very diligent with our processes and system to make sure that each person's items are entered into their account and they're maintained and the proper tagging is on there. So we know that when somebody's stuff sells, it's their stuff and they get credit for that money. Mm-hmm. So, and then our split, I'm sure that's maybe the next question that's on people's minds.
That was my next question.
Well, there you go. So if it's sold at $20 or below, it's a 60-40 split. So 60% goes to the store, 40% to the consignor. And if it's sold at $20 and above, it's a 50-50 split. So most of our furniture and larger items are going to be the 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm. So how do you find, because I've noticed with most consignment places, it's kind of like a niche. Either they're selling baby clothing or children's clothing or just furniture or just, you know, like high-end merchandise.
Right.
How do you feel that you've been able to be so successful by having such a wide variety of merchandise?
Yeah, we really feel like that's our niche. The fact that we're a one-stop drop for most items. You know, there's a few things like books that we just have found over the years that we decided to move away from. Mm-hmm. We really try to have the boutique feel in a really large space.
I see a lot of similarities here. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So, but we take a lot of time to make sure that the items are well merchandised, that everything's colorized, that we have a full-time decorator position who stages all of our furniture and home decor just to make it look really nice. And I've heard a lot of people just say that, you know, when they come in, it doesn't feel like a resale shop or a thrift shop or a consignment store. It feels like a boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that aspect separates us as well. We also have a 500 square foot coffee shop in both of our locations where we offer free coffee, cookies, and Wi-Fi. So you can come in, meet with friends, or nice. Just use the place as a workspace.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, our customer service.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's for us being owned by the church, you know, we definitely feel like we are sent by God into the world to bring the love of Christ to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so each person that comes into our store, we really try to understand and see them through God's eyes and realize that they have a story.
Mm-hmm.
They have a place that they've come from. They have, you know, things in their past that they've walked up to until now. And so I think that really affects at the core, not just on the surface of hi, hello, how are you, and a smile. And, you know, it's really at the core of who we are to really care for people when they come in our store.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have somebody that comes in and maybe they're not in the greatest mood, you're allowed to return that with just love and care and compassion for those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and we communicate that every morning at our morning meeting, we share at least one story of one employee observing another employee going above and beyond in customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really just to keep it at the forefront of everyone's eyes, to make sure that we're bringing the utmost care and concern and integrity as well to our customers, because the consignment business is so much about integrity. People are entrusting you with their stuff to sell it for them. And so so that's a big aspect of our business as well. But that's kind of the longer version, but
I like that version.
Definitely, I feel like all those things are important to make us unique. And I think they've really been the reason, I mean, certainly God, but God moving us in that direction, that we've been so successful.
It sounds like you and Elaine have that in common, that whole get to the root of what the customer wants and make everyone feel special.
Definitely kindred spirits here.
Definitely.
It's actually interesting because I was listening to the Joy FM and the Morning Crew, and it's a Christian radio station. I thought, you know, should I tell people that I'm a Christian, that this is not a Christian store? And here I sit across from Bryce, and I'm like, well, I guess I could tell you that, you know, we don't run a Christian bookstore, but I'm a Christian, and that's my principle of how I operate. And that's why we don't carry 50 Shades of Grey. And
yeah.
I was told, you won't succeed if you don't carry it. And I said, well, I guess I'll fail.
Yeah.
I guess you'll find out, right?
And it's been interesting because we didn't make $20,000 the first month. But we've been provided for, needs have been met, and we share a lot of the same customers. And
right.
Now I know why.
Yeah.
Because the two of you seem a lot alike, the same, like you said, kindred spirits.
That's yeah. right.
The same philosophies apply, the boutiqueness, the helping people. And like Bryce said, 95% of the people, even 99% of the people that come in, if they're not in a good mood, it's because something happened that caused that. And sometimes you can just say, how you doing today? And they'll go, horrible. And you go, oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah.
And that's what people come for.
That's right. Yeah, and a lot of times we'll have the opportunity to be able to stop and pray for people, you know, as they allow that. But really, I mean, and it's also encouraged with our employees as well, that somebody is starting to share, you know, their story with you, then stop. You don't right. have to feel like you've got to keep working all the time. You know, mm-hmm. stop and take 15 minutes and even go sit down in the coffee bar and share a coffee with this person and hear their story. And
yeah, and the customer appreciates that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, and I really feel like people really feel the heart behind what we're doing. And I've just one story of many, but I had one lady in the store just was telling me how much the store meant to her. And she was telling me basically, she was one of our regular customers, so probably came in about 3 times a week. And she would just walk around the store and she'd be there for at least 45 minutes to an hour, just walking around. And she was just in tears, just telling me just how much the store meant to her. Mm-hmm. And just as she walked around and the type of music that we play, we try to play a mixture of Christian and regular music just to appeal to a wide customer base. But at the same time, I think people appreciate just the positive music. I mean, certainly all the music we play is positive, but the positive music, just the hello, how are you, the genuine care for people. And I think even the care we take in merchandising the store, mm-hmm. really people appreciate that. It's a nice place to walk around. It's mm-hmm. not just, oh, well, let me go dig through this pile of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, no, this is a nice place. I can have my coffee. I can have my cookies. I can walk around. I can hear nice music. I can be around positive people. And and so she was just telling me about the store and just in tears and telling me about how much it meant to her. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty special.
And I'm sure that's not hard work for you. It's just basically you staying true to your values. You're not doing anything different or anything that's against anything you believe in or anything like that. It's just you being you.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yep. One of the things that we feel like God's spoken to us from the very beginning is that if we take care of people, then God will take care of the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And it's been absolutely
more
true.
More high fives in the studio.
Yes, more high fives.
So I'm going to ask you, like I asked Elaine, and I think you may have already mentioned it, what is your main source of advertising? Is it word of mouth, like Elaine, or?
Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
And what about, I guess, obtaining new merchandise? That's been word of mouth as well?
It has. It's pretty amazing in the consignment business how easily things get out. And our Woodstock location has over 12,000 consigners
wow.
over the past, you know, that's how many we've accumulated over the past 8 years. And us being in business for a little over a year already has over 2,000 consigners.
That's awesome.
And so one of the things we learned early on is generally when you open a consignment store, the finding of the merchandise or the consigners will tend to come out of the woodworks, as mm-hmm. they say, and just start bringing items. And it's been very true for us. So
was that your experience when you first started as well? I guess when you needed items in the store to actually open the doors?
Yes. Initially, we did have to do some hustling, I mm-hmm. guess, just running around. We like to buy all of the merchandise initially, so we didn't open up with an empty store. Mm-hmm. I had to do a lot of yard sailing, a lot of Craigslisting, mm-hmm. and
so you started with stuff that you purchased.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. So we purchased a lot of the initial inventory, but also used some of our current consigner base. Mm-hmm. Whenever we opened the Smyrna store, we didn't want to kind of hurt the Woodstock location in terms mm-hmm. of their consignments. And so what we did is we took all of the Smyrna zip codes and called all of those consigners individually, mm-hmm. which was, I think probably around 200 customers. We just called them on the telephone individually, told them we were coming, and said, you can bring your stuff by, you know, between these times. And so we started taking in merchandise a few days before we opened. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to take in consignments as well as we had our base of stuff that I purchased. But from then on out, I mean, and even lately, we've had to reduce. So for a little while, we weren't taking consignments on Fridays. We've opened that back up now, which we're very happy about. We like to keep it as open as we possibly can and allow people to bring in items anytime. But currently, the hours are between 11:30 and 5:30, mm-hmm. and that's Monday through Saturday. So we try to keep that wide open. In the Woodstock location, however, they've gone to strictly appointments. So you can only come in if you make an appointment to that location. And that's just because of the sheer volume of consigners that we get. So
now, I have to interrupt you for a minute, Bryce.
Yes.
I've heard a rumor in the Smyrna area. I overheard two gals speaking in the shop that you guys are going to be accepting designer purses on consignment. Is this true?
This is absolutely true.
All right. And the ladies want to know when, how. The two women were engaged in conversation. I have to post this out on my Facebook page, so spill it.
Yeah, well, it's actually been outstanding. We started taking designer purses in the Woodstock store in December last year, and we started taking them here in Smyrna in April. And so we have been taking them. And since we've started taking them, we've gotten about 100 designer purses, and they've done really well.
Since April.
That's right. So I think people were chomping at the bit, as they say, to start consigning these items. And we have a authentication process that we use with a third-party authentication service.
You're reading my mind because you know that was my next question.
And because we wanted, and that's when it comes back to integrity. We want to do things with the utmost integrity.
Right.
And you can do all your homework and really try to figure out how to tell the difference between, you know, a fake handbag and a true designer handbag. Mm-hmm. But we just felt like using this third-party authentication service was really just going above and beyond in integrity. Mm-hmm. It costs a little more money, but I think it's worth it in the end, for
people
sure.
People want to know.
Absolutely. So
these two women did, and they were debating as to what was actually they were going to bring, and they were very excited. And I'm listening in, and finally I asked them about it, and they said, well, they're authenticated. And I was thinking, how?
You were intrigued a bit, weren't you?
I was.
Yep. So this is a question I have for both of you.
Okay.
What do you do when you just have so many items? So I know, Elaine, when you get things and you don't have a need for it, you donate it. But what if you have items that have been in your store for quite some time? Do they just stay there until they sell? Do you donate? Do you give it back to the owner? How does that work?
Yeah, so at our store, the items will stay in the store for 8 to 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be at full price.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go for 50% off for 2 weeks and then down to 80% off for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so people go kind of crazy once we have the 80% off. They're like, yeah. So and then after that, we donate them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're connected to Restoration Deliverance Distribution Ministries, and they work with battered women. And so they come every 2 weeks and pick up the rest of the clothing and home decor items. And then throughout the week, we also partner with Goodwill. They supply us with workers,
mm-hmm.
so to help us to do some of our tagging and hanging and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really grateful to partner with Goodwill. We have a Goodwill right next to our Woodstock location, and then also one right across the street from us here in Smyrna as
mm-hmm.
well. So so yeah, but that's more or less what we do.
And the customer, I'm sure they understand that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What about you, Elaine?
Most of our stock goes. If it doesn't go and it's a hardback, we actually have a process to donate those to the public libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize if a book isn't returned to the public library, they don't have the budget to buy a new copy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a hardback that doesn't sell, we clean it up and it heads up to the library. With the paperbacks, if we have too many, we donate them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they go right out. So we're not having stock hanging around. I mean, we have a stock room. And we keep our most popular authors there. We also keep a couple copies of the classics on hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's school break, so we have a lot of copies of school books that those young people need to read in
the
back.
Well, I'm coming before they're gone.
Well, come on down.
My kids and I, we were shopping before they left for vacation, but before they left, we went shopping. And that's one of the things my oldest son mentioned. He's like, we need to go to the bookstore they call you the bookstore by the Chinese place.
Nice.
We need to go to the bookstore by the Chinese place so we can get some books for school. So we're ready. We're coming in.
Well, we actually have the school lists.
Mm-hmm.
We've been granted all of them from most of the schools in the area, including the privates.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'll ask you a question, where does your child go to school? It's because I'm already taking that notebook, flipping it open to the page,
mm-hmm.
and mentally going, okay, now what grade, now what read?
Mm-hmm.
And my customers are fantastic because the ones that don't have an assigned reading list, if I ask them, well, could you maybe read that later on? And I explain why, the kids are fantastic. They go, absolutely, I could find another book, Miss Elaine. And they're just fantastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question for Bryce. We're a very transient community in Atlanta, and I have
That's
a lot
right.
of customers who come to me and non-customers who go, here, just take the books, use them whatever you want. And we've set up a process that we have a number of people who come in to buy books from schools and Hero Box, so we can have this store credit assigned to that so it doesn't just go to our store.
Right.
But a lot of these people have other items in their car. If they wanted to, say, maybe drive over, we're fairly close to each other, and donate to you, would you accept just a flat-out donation?
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me to another ministry that we're connected to. It's called Restore, and it's a food pantry to the homeless. It's actually connected to the store in Woodstock, and that's where the food pantry is located. And so they serve between about 20 and 30 people a week, and they can just come in and get, you know, a small supply of food and assistance in different things that they're going through. If they're going through a tough time, we'll even give them financial assistance. But part of the proceeds of what we sell actually go to help fund this ministry. And it is a ministry at Jubilee Church. But a lot of times when we get donations like that, Elaine, we'll actually put it in a consignor account that will be connected to Restore. And that money can actually go to help fund the homeless as well. So when we when we take in donations, it's more kind of going straight out to something that's helping people.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That is fantastic.
Yep.
Now I have another question for you, Bryce. This just popped in my mind. Now, I know, Elaine, your prices are easy to determine. You know, just flip over, look at the publisher's price. What about pricing your items?
Yes.
How does that work, Bryce?
Yes, that is, as they say, the key to the consignment business, I think. We price stuff around a quarter to a third of its original value. Mm-hmm. Sometimes determining that original value is a little bit difficult, but we rely very much so on our consigners. So as they bring their items in, we'll ask information on maybe a special item that they bring in or something like that in order to determine its value. And then we, like I said, we price around a quarter to a third. We do price things lower, and we try to be as upfront about that as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to get the highest amount of money for each of your items, we're probably not the best store for you. But if you have a large amount of items that you're just looking to do something with and you're actually not sure what to do with, that's more what we're for. Mm-hmm. And we're moving into, you know, like designer purses where that would be, you know, we would price those more at market value. Mm-hmm. So we would look on places like Etsy and Tradesy and those sort of websites to mm-hmm. determine the going rate. eBay, we use eBay completed listings for sure. Mm-hmm. So we try to do as much research as possible, but we are a high volume store. So mm-hmm. We take in about close to 13 to 14,000 items per month.
Wow.
And that's items that we have to enter into our system.
Yeah, you need a lot of hands. Print out. Oh,
yes, absolutely. So it's a very labor-intensive business, but yeah, more or less that's mm-hmm. kind of some of the different things we do to determine mm-hmm. The prices. And then as well for our designer purses, our authentication company will help us determine the prices of those mm-hmm. as well. So.
And what about furniture? What are your guidelines for accepting furniture?
Yeah, furniture is a lot of fun. I think it also helps set apart our store and sort of break up the giant store of clothing kind of feel. So we have different rooms that we have set up in our store and, set up as a kitchen or a living room or a bedroom just to stage it, make it look nice. But people can bring in furniture anytime they want if they have the means to do that. A lot of people won't have a pickup truck or a buddy with a pickup truck to be able to do that. So we do offer a pickup service.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Do share.
And so it's very affordable. If you're between 0 and 2 miles, it's only a $5 charge. 2 and 10 miles, a $10 charge. And I'm sorry, 2 and 5 miles, $10 charge. And 5 and 10 miles, a $15 charge. And actually, you don't have to pay anything up front. You can actually deduct that money from your account. And then when your furniture sells, your account will go back into the positive and you'll continue to make money on that. So so it's a very, very nominal charge. We try to offer it as a service to our consigners for sure, because we do realize a lot of people don't have the means mm-hmm. To get the furniture to the store. Mm-hmm. And so, but once we get it in, we have Our decorator is the one who would be, and that's also my wife, who's also the assistant manager. Her name's Christine.
That's a busy lady, your wife, yes, manager,
that's,
decorator.
That's right. So she definitely has other people to help her as well. Ben is another one of our decorators. Mm-hmm. And so they've kind of over the years, you know, learned how to price furniture. Again, we rely heavily on the consignor to tell us how much did you pay for this piece, you know, mm-hmm. when you originally purchased it. And we'll try to, if it's less than 2 years old, we can actually price it up to half of what it was originally worth. Mm-hmm. And then the customer would get 50% of that. But if you want to schedule a pickup, you can actually email pictures to mm-hmm. furniture.smyrna@reviveconsignment.com.
Could you say that again?
Yeah, I need that too.
furniture.smyrna, and that's at reviveconsignment.com. And it's a little long, but that's all right. And so once we get those pictures, the decorator will correspond with the person and ask questions about it. And as long as you have at least $200 worth of furniture, we can set up a pickup. And we do pickups on Tuesdays between 10 and 3. And we'll send two guys with a truck and a 16-foot enclosed trailer and uniformed guys, great guys. Actually, I've been doing pickups lately, so mm-hmm. you may see me out there. Ben, one of our regular pickup and delivery guys recently was injured, so I'm filling in for him. But anyway, you can do that, or you can just bring pictures in on your cell phone into the store and just show us right then and there, and then we can set up the appointment in the store as well. So
awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. Elaine, I see you're itching over there to ask a question. You have another question for him? Or several.
Yeah, that's right. She's been writing down over here.
I have several questions, but I'm adding them up. I find the process interesting because with books, since I go by the publisher price, there's no question.
Yeah.
And people bring in antique books and I go, oh no, my insurance agent, no, I don't touch those.
Yeah.
But I have set some in the store. I had a first edition Robert Frost and I'm just looking at it going,
wow.
Oh, that's worth $2,000. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I just find the process of how you actually determine the price to be very interesting from a business perspective and mm-hmm. a personal perspective of how you price these items out. And I think that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting process.
Yeah, it's challenging, you know. And I think sometimes we've missed the mark. And we've had customers come in and say, hey, you sold this for this amount, but it's actually worth this. And when we find those things out, we do everything we can to try to make it right. But again, with the volume that we do, it's very difficult to get it 100% correct. But we do everything we can to try to price things in a way that's going to be fair to the consignor and also, you know, a good value to our customers as well. So it's a fun balance. But our main thing is we want people to be happy. And if you're not happy with how we're going to be able to do things, then that's fine. And we, you know, we're fine. And, you know, there's no hard feelings. You mm-hmm. can take your items and that's no problem whatsoever. Our main concern is that people are happy. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's good to keep them happy because then they come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Well, what if the community wanted to get more involved with Revive? How can they do that?
Yeah. So we do take volunteers. And as I mentioned before, we do partner with Goodwill and they give us some workers and we're continuing to partner with them. We also take community service.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to do some community service, even court-ordered community service, we do offer that as well. But if you're interested in volunteering with us, you can go to our website, reviveconsignment.com. And on the front page, there's a button you can click on that says you'd like to volunteer. You fill out a form, mm-hmm. and it's a very easy process to come in and become one of our volunteers. So,
awesome.
And, you know, I forgot to mention this, and this is probably one of the most important aspects of what we're doing here in Smyrna, but the reason we opened the second location of Revive Consignment here in Smyrna primarily was to plant another location of Jubilee Church here in the Smyrna area.
Oh,
and
nice.
So the whole
Has that started?
We have two small groups that mm-hmm. meet during the week. One's on Tuesday nights, and that's generally at my house. My wife and I host that one. And then on Thursday nights, it's hosted at other homes in the local area. And Michael and Amy lead that group. And so those start, they both start at 7:30, and we just get together. Every other week, we'll actually just do a meal together, mm-hmm. and then every other week, we'll do a Bible study. But we're starting small. Mm-hmm. So, and the whole, you know, the whole reason that we opened the store was to build relationships in the community. And consignment is such a relational business. Mm-hmm. You have people bringing their items, they're, you know, they're coming back to check on them, they're coming to pick up a check, they're coming to shop some more. And so it's just such a great way to meet new people, to, and also, you know, a way for us to be into the business community. So I met Lanice here at the Smyrna Business Association meeting, and they've been such a help and just so welcoming to us, and such a way to meet other leaders and other business leaders and other people in the community. And just really, we want to be a help to this community. And we want to be, you know, 100% a part of the community, and not just to come in and say, hey, we're going to start a Sunday meeting, why don't you all come? You know, there, which that's not to completely put that down, because it is for the mission of God. It's for, you know, people are doing it for the right reasons, but we just really felt like to come in and initially just serve the community. Yeah. And we've been able to do that. We have, you know, we have 12 people that work there now. So 12 jobs have been added to the community. We were blessed to do about $500,000 in sales our first year, which means 43% of that money goes directly back into the community. So people can use it to buy more items in the store or just come and pick up a check. And I mean, there's so many stories of people saying, I'm so grateful that you guys are here, because now I'm able to, you know, pay this bill or cover, you know, this charge, or even have extra money to go on vacation. And so it's just such a privilege, yeah. just to be a part of what God's
and
doing.
And a lot of people don't realize how small businesses truly are the backbone of the community. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I've learned that more as I've gotten into the business world. I was previously a school teacher, and then God,
big difference.
That's right. And then God called me to plant a church. And then even more than that, he said, hey, why don't you open a store to plant a church? So,
and then open another store.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's right. So it's been a wild road. But it's been amazing just to be a part of it.
That's awesome. I mm-hmm. love your story.
Thank you.
And for those of you, well, none of you can see Bryce in the studio now, but he has this name tag on, and I think that's how we met. His name tag, or his tag, says, ask us our story.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So I like how you're able to tell your story,
Definitely.
Share your experiences, Definitely. Have other people tell their stories and share their experiences,
right.
and all of that, like you said, just builds those relationships.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Elaine and Bryce, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, it's coming to an end. That's so sad.
Yeah, I'm Aww. Sorry. We can keep going.
I no, mean, it's fun.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
If you want
yeah,
to
thank
share,
you so much.
You're welcome. Share your information with the listeners again.
Elaine, please.
Oh, Bryce's store is located at.
Oh, look at that. 2514 Cobb Parkway, and we're right on Cobb Parkway in the Best Buy and Scalini Shopping Center in Smyrna. And Elaine's store is located at
3599 Atlanta Road, the intersection of Paces Ferry and Atlanta Road.
And your websites, please.
Oh, please, oh, Elaine.
Here we go. www.smyrna. No, that's not right. Can we erase
Books,
that?
Bookstop.
www.bookstopsmyrna.com.
That's right. And we're at reviveconsignment.com. And if you want to go directly to the Smyrna page, it's /Smyrna.
And what about Jubilee? Does Jubilee have a website?
Yes, jubileeatl.com.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank both of you. I look forward to having you on another show.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
We can Wonderful. Have more talk. You can share some other things that are going on.
Definitely.
Some other great experiences and celebrations like yours this Saturday.
Yeah, this
Yay.
Saturday. Come on out.
So thanks again.
All right.
This is Lanice Williams, and I am signing off on another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest that are in and serving Cobb County. Until next time.